Special regular business meeting for Wednesday, September 11th, 2013, to order. There are five council members here: Councilmember Hytopoulos, Councilmember Ward, Councilmember Blair, Councilmember Lester, and Mayor Bonkowski. Councilmember Scales has an excused absence, and we're waiting for Councilmember Blossom. The first item on the agenda is we will be adjourning to executive session to discuss potential litigation, RCW 42.30.110.1I. We expect to return at 7 o'clock. Thank you.
right way, and then so I just minimized it. If I didn't minimize it and had it on the desktop, it would do the same funky thing. So it's just the way to fix it.
I can play it for you.
Just let's, we'll have to rewrite the contract.
Can you sign this?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, okay, thank you. This is for Kate. Yeah, thank you very much.
Calling the special regular business meeting for Wednesday, September 11th, 2013, back to order. We have just returned from executive session, and no actions were taken. The current members that are here are Councilmember Hytopoulos, Councilmember Ward, Councilmember Blossom, Councilmember Lester, Councilmember Blair, and Mayor Bunkowski. Councilmember Scales has an excused absence. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes or modifications to the agenda? Councilmember Lester.
I'd like to pull item F, Rotary Park Sewer Easement, as I'll be recusing myself, and if we could have a separate vote on that, that would be appreciated.
You still want that? Okay, you just want that as a separate item?
To be voted upon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other?
I move we accept the agenda as modified.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Are there any conflicts of interest to disclose other than item 7F? Seeing none, we continue. The first item on our agenda is public comment. No one has signed up for public comment. Is anyone interested in making a public comment at this time? Seeing none, we'll move on to new business, which is the Harbor Commission appointments. I'd like council, I'll lead this, I'd like council to consider the appointments to the Harbor Commission. We had a call for participation, was advertised in the Bainbridge Review and the Islander, posted on the city's website, and distributed via email on July 26th and August 16th. Eight applications were received, and one application later withdrew. Interviewing panel consisted of Councilmember Lester, Councilmember Ward, Mayor Bunkowski, and we agreed to recommend George Briggs to position number 4, Elise Wright to position number 5, Sandra Davis to position number 6, and Tom Hudson to position number 7. Is there any discussion? Councilmember Lester.
I move that the City Council confirm the appointment of George Briggs for position number 4 for a 2-year term ending June 30th, 2015.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Shall we continue on with the next? I have another motion. I've got actually 3 more.
Let's just do this one.
I'm
sorry.
I move that the City Council confirm the appointment of Elise Wright for the position number 5 for a 3-year term ending June 30th, 2016.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Councilmember Lester.
I move that the City Council confirm the reappointment of Sandra Davis for position number 6 for a 3-year term ending June 30th, 2016.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Councilmember Lester.
I move that the City Council confirm the appointment of Tom Hudson for position number 7 for a 3-year term ending June 30th, 2016.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Now we can move on to some unfinished business, starting with our finance director on the repayment of the Swim Street Interfund Loan, Agenda Bill 13-120.
Good evening, Council. Tonight I have a very short couple of questions for you related to the repayment of this interfund loan between the SWIM Fund and the Streets Fund. I have one question related to the repayment that's scheduled for this year, and then a related question about the 2014 approach that you'd like to see. Just to remind you kind of how we got where we are, in February of 2012, the city received a court decision allowing the city to consider an ordinance to set SWIM rates for the street network, and the city considered and passed an ordinance then in October of 2012 exempting the city streets and roads from the SWIM fee. In December, the council then passed a resolution providing for an interfund loan between the Streets Fund and the SWIM Fund, with the stipulation that that loan be fully repaid by the end of this year. And so we're getting ready to do that, and I wanted to confirm with you the approach you'd like to see. Streets Fund paid over the 5 years covered by the ordinance a total of $1.37 million from the Streets Fund to the SWIM Fund, so we'll be making the repayment from SWIM back to Streets. And as we discussed last year, the general fund can offset in whole or in part any expense. I understand that you would like to see the following set of transactions and wanted to confirm that with you. We would make a transfer from the general fund to the SWIM fund in an amount of the interfund loan plus the applicable interest. So that would be about $1.37 million plus the interest, which we have currently estimated to be about $8,000. Use that funding and then repay the loan from the SWIM fund to the streets fund. Doing this will create a decrease in the general fund, a $0 change to the SWIM fund, and an increase to the streets fund. And I just wanted to confirm with you that that was the set of transactions you wanted to see. This is a little different than the information that I provided in the mid-year report, so I want to make sure that that's what you'd like to see so we can prepare the adjustments for October, for the third quarter budget adjustments.
Questions? I have one. I don't see how the street fund increases.
Well, it will increase because the money will transfer from the SWIM fund into the streets fund, and it is not possible for us to transfer that money then back into the general fund because at least part of the funding every year for streets comes from REIT, and so we couldn't transfer it all back. We'd have to do the analysis to figure out which part was general fund and which part was REIT fund. So we would propose to leave that money in the streets fund and use it for operations in 2014.
Okay. Thank you.
So that was the first question, and I think I'm seeing consensus that that's what you wanted, an equivalent transfer then from the general fund to the SWIM fund. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then the second question is looking at 2014 with sort of a similar approach. The currently approved 2014 budget assumed a payment for the streets fund into the SWIM fund of about $251,000 to $252,000. And it worked out that way because we prepared the 2014 budget and you passed that prior to approving the interfund loan. And so my question for you is, should we simply eliminate that payment, which is no longer authorized under ordinance, or did you intend for us to also provide a general fund transfer to the SWIM fund in the amount that was formerly provided through the streets fund SWIM fees?
Discussion? My recollection is that when we made the determination to exempt the streets from SWIM, there was a discussion that the general fund at the will of the council could be used in any manner to increase funding in the SWIM fund. And my sense is at the time there was a sense on the council that we wanted to continue to keep the SWIM fund whole as it had been for the prior years. And that was my recollection, and I think it warrants a discussion here to make sure that that's how we're going to proceed. Councilmember Hytopoulos.
Well, I wish I could remember more specifically what I was thinking, what I might have said. I think that what I was thinking was certainly that we would remain committed to funding the swim fund to the extent it needed to be funded, presumably at least to the level it was, but that it would be done in a thoughtful manner. We wouldn't just, that we would feel that we'd be obligated to properly fund stormwater on the island. But that didn't necessarily mean we just reach in the general fund and plop in what we were doing. And so, of course, I don't know where we stand right now on assessing this at this, you know, the swim at the moment, but that's what I felt, that we had a moral obligation just anyway to be fully funding stormwater, but we would do it in an intelligent way.
Councilmember Blair.
In addition to what you just mentioned, I think there was also a commitment to maintaining the reserves at the minimum level. So, I think yeah. That was also, if that in fact had been drawn down, that would be reimbursed and maintained.
I think, Councilmember, from my recollection, I believe Councilmember Hytopoulos is correct, and that we had asked the city to put together a swim plan so that we would know what the proper amount was.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I don't think we're there yet. And so I would recommend that at minimum we put in the amount that we had been putting in until such time as we get a swim plan, and then we can go and adjust that in either up or down.
Hmm.
Councilmember Blossom.
My recollection is the same with yours, and I would agree with what you just said.
Okay.
Does that...
Councilmember Blair and then Councilmember Hightower.
I guess I want to check in with our finance director. Does that make sense to you still from what you know? I mean, that may sound wise, and I do agree that's what I'm remembering, but at this point, as you're looking at it, is that something that's wise?
Well, my recollection of the discussion is that it had, well, at least when I was listening to it before, I was thinking that we were talking about the prior years and not going forward, which is why I brought this question to you today.
Okay.
There have been a number of discussions looking at the expenditures of SWIM and how those would go forward, and I don't believe we've concluded those at this time. So this would make a transfer from the general
right.
fund to the SWIM fund. It would provide more revenue in 2014 to the SWIM fund than would otherwise come in. I do not believe we would need this amount to fully fund our minimum reserves, but absent this transaction, the SWIM fund would have less revenue.
Councilmember Hytopoulos.
So, assuming I understand what you're saying, the target number for me would be to maintain the status quo, which would include retaining the reserves and fully funding its current program. If you're saying that's a smaller number, I would support that number.
We could certainly bring that back to you as a part of the budget adjustment
Good.
Discussion, and maybe we need to provide you with more information before you can make a better decision. So maybe that's what I'm hearing from you, is that we should bring that as part of the 14 budget discussions that we'll be having
that
later in the fall.
Yes.
Okay, that is very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Okay, the next item is the Waterfront Park / City Dock Design Contract Scope Information.
Okay, what I'd like to do this evening is go through a very brief PowerPoint presentation. What I want to cover basically three issues that I'm looking for council input on regarding the Waterfront Park project. First would be the grant opportunities we have available through RCO for this project. The second item would be the scope of the project. We have a known funding available right now, so there could be opportunities to only look at a project that would be funded by the known funding level, or there's an opportunity with the grants to look at another funding level of roughly leveraging the existing 1.8 with but up to 1.6 million additional in grant funds. Mm. Or the third option in terms of scope of project would be a project that would be all-inclusive of the community input that has been received, even if that exceeds the potential funding that comes from the existing funds plus grant opportunities, which would eventually mean that at some point in the future we'd have to look at additional funding sources. And then the third item is the consultant selection process and an alternative that's been proposed for that that I would also like to receive council input on. So the selection process was started with an RFQ, request for qualifications, that was advertised in June. The statement of qualifications were due July 5th. We received 8 submittals from qualified teams, and then the evaluation of those proposals was done based on criteria that was advertised in the RFQ and interview questions to identify the most qualified. The interview panel consisted of myself, the interim public works director, the project manager, and a local architect that was representing Sustainable Bainbridge. We selected Studio Cascade as the most qualified, and what I've listed here is basically some of the comments that I pulled from the evaluation sheets related to the project, related to Studio Cascade, as well as some recent information and one of the projects that they identified as a similar project or similar experience. The proposal from Studio Cascade was actually the only submittal that technically followed the instructions in the advertised RFP. We didn't throw the other 7 out because we felt that although the instructions were pretty clear, it certainly was of benefit to the city to look at all 8 of the submittals. We looked at the specialized experience and technical competence with Studio Cascade, the capability and capacity to perform the work. In other words, did they have the right team? What other competing projects did they have or not have that would have an impact on their ability to complete the project within the time frame here? And then Studio Cascade also proposed a process that was described as stated here, an intimate involvement of the community through storefront studio and an open and collaborative process. This was something that during their telephone interview with the panel really stood out from what was being proposed for the outreach by the other consultants. We also noted that with Studio Cascade and the team they put together, one of their team members has 35 years experience with RCO grants, actually spent 20 years sitting on the review panel for the RCO previously interagency organization that handled the similar grants, and that seemed to be very beneficial to what we were attempting to do here. And then a recently completed waterfront project in Port Angeles that received the 2013 American Institute of Architects Excellence in Civic Design for Waterfront Improvement Projects. In terms of the RCO grants, there are actually 3 different grant programs that potentially could be opportunities for funding with this project. With these 3 grant programs, there's a potential, as I said earlier, of $1.6 million to leverage with our 1.8. These grant programs are the Aquatic Lands Enhancement Account, the Boating Facilities Program, and the Boating Infrastructure Grant. As it stands now, if we're interested in pursuing the grant opportunities The grant application deadline will drive the time frame and the criteria and deliverables. In terms of the project scope, as I mentioned during the introduction, there are three different ways that I've looked at the project scope, and it really is a limited project scope, a moderate project scope, and an enhanced project scope is probably the best way to put it. With a limited scope, we'd be focused just on the existing $1.8 million that we have available to fund this project. The moderate scope would be the $1.8 million plus potential grant funds of up to $1.6 million for a total of potentially $3.4 million. And then, of course, the expanded or enhanced scope would be all of the community-supported enhancements to the park, even if future funding would be required. There's been a suggestion for an alternative process in selecting a consultant to complete this design. This process would mean that three consultants would be selected to develop two conceptual plans each. In other words, we would receive six conceptual plans, and then there would be a process most likely open to the community to provide input on the six conceptual plans, with ultimately a selection of the top plan, and that consultant would be offered a contract to complete the process and assist the city with the grant applications, assuming the council wants to go forward with the grant opportunities. In order to do this, because we've already gone through the process and advertised it as a very specific process that is different than the competitive process, we would need to re-advertise basically a new RFQ outlining this competitive process and being very specific about what steps would need to be taken, what type of information that would be provided, what resources that the consultants could use and the city would provide to complete their conceptual plans. Looking at the total process, it would add 1 month to the time frame where we're at, which is a critical piece of this discussion. So, as I mentioned, three items that I am requesting council input on this evening is the council level of interest in pursuing the grant opportunities, the council expectation for the project scope, and then input regarding the alternative process. Any questions?
Councilman, before we get, to me, I think the items one and two couple together, and so I think having a discussion on council's expectation for the scope really drives the issue about grants, and so if we could kind of focus on that aspect of the discussion first. Councilmember Hytopoulos.
I'm confused. I have, I think, a completely different question. You're saying you want to talk about the scope of grant, the scope of spending?
The expectations for the project scope. In other words, are we going to make a project that is relies upon a only the 1.8, and you get a park for 1.8, or are we going to make a an expectation that we're going to have a $3.6 million park because we're going to get grants, and if we don't get the grants, we have half a park. I mean, when you think about it, and then, or are we going to take all of the inputs that we had, and whatever price that turns out to be, we will proceed down a multi-year path in order to get to that. Is that a good summary of those three?
Yeah.
So I have some clarification questions first before we have policy conversations. So the first question is, I'm confused because it sounds like you went through a very thorough process with several members of staff and evaluated eight applications and selected a firm. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so why are we talking about redoing a process?
I can answer that. Because I'm the one that offered that up. And I'll be very, very specific and clear about why. I was surprised with the approach that developed. It was my expectation that after you had qualifying contractors that they would, that the top would then be selected to provide a proposals that would have some kind of design concepts in them so you have something to touch rather than pure qualification. You know, I was not expecting the design of the waterfront park to be like selecting a contractor to pave our streets or to build a parking lot, because we have absolutely no idea what this is going to look like. And from my perspective, I've got two pieces of history. One is when I was in the business of designing custom equipment for the government had a set of requirements that you had to meet, and you proposed a project to meet those requirements. You proposed a design. Often you proposed competitive design so that the government could get an idea of what it is that they were eventually going to buy. And in some cases, they actually paid for prototypes. Secondly, I have a son who's an architect in Las Vegas. He designs casinos and hotels, and he has never been selected, and his current firm has never been selected without providing some kind of a concept of what the eventual project is going to be looking like. And so to me, going and having an idea from a wider set of designers and developers of what kinds of concept you could actually achieve for within some kind of a dollar amount makes a lot more sense to me than basically saying that we have a contractor, we think the contractor is a good contractor, and we're going to go with that without any idea what we're going to get. And this is the only time. We only have one waterfront park, and we have a unique opportunity to make it something special for the community. And I think that having more people in the design world going and giving us the concepts of what the park could be is advantageous to the community. That's the reason that I asked Doug to look at that.
So I was asking the city manager, if you don't mind, some questions. I understand
sure.
You wanted to give what your why this happened from your perspective, but
right.
I would like to ask the
Certainly.
City manager a couple questions to understand
mm-hmm.
how he got here.
Yeah.
So just to understand, Doug, have you prior to your conversation with Steve, it sounds like, about this, were you intending to bring to us this week the selection of this firm?
Yes, that was what we had originally planned and scheduled on the agenda calendar.
And has that firm previously been notified that it was selected through this process it participated in?
Yes, all firms were notified of their status after the interviews.
And in the, how many years is it you've been a city manager again?
25.
Okay, so in the 25 years you've been a city manager, have you done similar RFPs, RFQs for projects that involved architecture and design of spaces?
Yeah, and there's a variety of ways this could be approached in terms of the actual process that was used. I've gone through processes where the submittals were reviewed, and just based on the submittals, no interviews at all, the most qualified was selected. I've gone through processes that were exactly like we did here, and I've gone through processes where we would go through the process we went through here plus an interview, a face-to-face interview. So the difference between hiring a contractor to do a parking lot and someone to design the park is this: with the parking lot, you're contracting for the work to be done, the paving, et cetera. And there you're, according to state law, you're required to take the lowest qualified bidder. Before you get to that point, the design RCW requires you to select the most qualified, and you don't talk about contract, you don't talk about budget until you've selected the most qualified. Then you negotiate with the most qualified for a contract to do your design work. Architectural engineering and surveying falls into this category. That's not to say that this process that's been suggested couldn't be used. We could go through a process like that. And if we were having this conversation 3 months ago, this would be something that I would be saying, let's advertise it that way, let's get it started, and you know it's a great opportunity. It's a unique way of doing it. There are cities that are doing it that way. That's not the way our city code prescribes the process. That doesn't mean it couldn't be done that way. It's just we followed what the code says, and that's what brought us to where we're at today.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Lester.
Is it okay if I put up my PowerPoint too? I'll join you. So what was very exciting is that we did have 8 qualified candidates, and at one point I believe the project manager said that it was very close to a tie in terms of all of the submittals. So I'm going to walk you through. What I found interesting is that all the submittals had on the front of their page Waterfront Park and Dock Design. And I think this is important because I think many people thought they were submitting for a design application, for a design project. And so I'll just talk about recent successful community projects by or in collaboration with the city. Winslow Way, Senior Community Center, The Waypoint. Key to their success was from the get-go, there was an inclusive community participation interview process for selection of the design team, benefiting from the diverse range of community participants and perspectives and expertise. Winslow Way had citizen participation with the selection of the design team. Senior Community Center had city staff, council members, Bainbridge Island City Community Board members, park board members, and local construction expert make the selection of the designer. The Waypoint, although a bit different, as a diverse group lobbied for a particular architect to participate, still the work group had Arts and Humanities Council, Bainbridge Island Historical Museum, council members, Rotary Park, Rotarians, parks, staff, and local construction experts. Specifically, and we could stop there because I'd like to kind of show people. Specifically, my difficulty and challenge is that the Waterfront Park and Dock Design interview and selection process did not follow a similar process. The interview team had 3 city staff members and 1 citizen participant. And the interviews were done by phone. All the members of the interview team are relatively new to the island. We did not have anyone representing those that use the park, the senior community, rowing club, harbor commission, parks, nor did we have any representative from the public art committee, of which certainly, as citizens called out in the surveys, we want integrated art into this major downtown park. All of these particular backgrounds and perspectives come together to ask thorough and thoughtful questions and would have come to a community selection. This is nearly a $2 million project, a little more than, say, a third to a half of what Winslow Way project cost. And we did only a phone interview and had 1 citizen representative. I do not fault staff or the city manager. All are new to the city and were simply going by their past experience as well as the Bainbridge Island Municipal Code, which basically says the Public Works Director makes the decisions on RFQs. I'm certainly comfortable with that on most Public Works projects. I am not comfortable with that process for major community projects, and it has not been our recent practice. Again, this is the first project the city manager is taking on, and he had no knowledge of our recent practices and was simply going by the book and his past experience. And now we are told that we must continue on this path because we have to meet grant deadlines. Meeting a grant deadline. That always causes me to pause. Really, now are we going to let meeting a grant deadline drive making the best decision and selection possible? This is a once in a, say, 50-year opportunity to make over Waterfront Park. Why wouldn't we not from the beginning give this our best possible community inclusive selection panel? Please, why would we not have in-person interviews for those that are going to oversee the planning and designing of a $2 million project? I ask Council to consider a compromise solution to improve our selection process. I recommend that the top three selections be given an honorarium and a three-week time frame to produce a high-level conceptual plan for Waterfront Park. This way, the community will get big, inspiring ideas out on the table, as well as give something tangible to respond to and get this design process started. Present the three designs without any identification of the design team in a community forum or at a very visible location, the library, city hall, ferry terminal. And just as the community responded to the Bainbridge Island Museum of Art multiple designs and actually improved the original design of the Bainbridge Island Museum of Art, let the community respond to the designs. Vote for their favorite, add their comments, and with that, select the design team. It has been an honor to work with the Let's Get It Done Council. You have had the courage to address failing Main Street, and it became the award-winning Winslow Way. A decades-old eyesore became the waypoint, and years of hand-wringing about the community center turned into a remodeled waterfront community center. I ask you now, have the courage to do the best design team selection possible. It took us decades to get this settlement with Washington State Ferries. The time is now to give it our best. And I wanted to show you, I took time to look at each of the applicants and get a sense of their projects. So just to walk the community through, because I think you should know what great designs, what great firms came forward. This is Cascade Design Select Design Collective. Next, go the other direction, and that's some of their work. This is the Fisher Boma, and as you can see, they had all of these things are finished and completed projects that they've done. You can click on them and see in more detail. Next, this is J. A. Brennan. McLeod Reckford. This is Makers. And Portugal Group. SBA. This is, Studio Cascade. And if you could go back one. Studio Cascade, what I'm looking at is project examples, and they have two project examples. Continue on. And these are the things I think we should really build upon. We do have the community survey that was just done. We have a 2000 dock float design. We have a proposed upland trail, shoreline restoration, a waterfront park design, environmental impact statement. And if we could just scroll through, you could see that we have a lot of great materials that could be put up and built upon. Okay, thank you.
Councilmember Ward.
I just had a couple of brief comments and no PowerPoint. So, In terms of the grants component of it, I have no problem with us spending some time and energy pursuing grants, but I would hate to see us totally focus our energy on that. I had the opportunity to walk Waterfront Park. In fact, Ann Blair was with me with Neil Johansson. And Neil was the parks director for the state of Alaska and then the state of California, and has been involved in building a couple of dozen waterfront parks. And we were able to walk the land with him and have a conversation about the cost of rebuilding the park. And in his opinion, walking around the park, the $1.8 million was quite an adequate budget for doing a fine job of rebuilding the dock and the upland side of the park. So I would, I don't have any problem with a limited pursuit of grants, but I would really hate to see us end up with a design that costs $3.4 million to build, no grants, and so we end up with a nice plan. I'd much rather see us take an approach of having a design that we could build for $1.8 million, and if there were options that could be added, if and when grants appeared, that would be great. But I definitely think the public deserves to see this money put to use and the park built as quickly as possible. I don't want to have us delay things a year and say, well, our design needs more money in order to be completed. On the process, I think we could, while Doug followed the process that was outlined in the city code, I think we should take a serious look at that and look for ways to improve that. You know, the city of Redmond, for example, uses this competitive process to have the top three firms do a preliminary design. It's not an expensive process. The fee is commonly $5,000 to $10,000 per firm, but you end up with an exciting competitive process that I think frequently can lead to a better outcome. I'd like to see us consider that for the future. So those are my comments.
Councilmember Hightopoulos, and then Councilmember Blair.
So are we or are we not being asked to go back and redo the process by certain council members? Because I won't waste my breath if we aren't. But is that still on the table?
Councilmember Lester?
I certainly have asked you to consider it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have real concerns about what's happened here. Because what I see is that the city manager was authorized to go forth and do an RFQ for this project, and we knew that was going to happen. And he went forth, and there was an advertisement, there were qualifications given out, 8 firms applied, several staff members and the city manager followed not only what's in the Bainbridge Municipal Code, but also what is standard procedure regionally. And they selected a firm, and in his PowerPoint, we could see the criteria. And they looked to me to be quite valuable criteria, including extensive public process, a recent award, experience at RCO for 35 years, et cetera. So we can see the thoughtful process that was used. These folks, this entity was informed pursuant to regular procedure that they were selected. And the manager was going to bring forward to us the selection for our consideration and approval, which is our role. And now we don't have in our packet the information about, we don't have an agenda bill to go forth or anything. The question has been opened now as to whether to go back and redo the process. Putting aside jeopardizing whether we get the RCO grants this cycle or whatever, which I think is worth considering, or whether it would cost us, sounds like Dave thinks only $15,000 for 3 groups to do this. I think it would probably cost more. I'd want to know from the city manager or the public works director if you were going to go down that path. But putting all that aside, the procedural issue here, the roles and responsibilities of council versus city manager that have played out here are very troubling to me. I think it's embarrassing that we have, pursuant to a completely standard, reasonable process, informed a group that we are going to be hiring them, or that they have been selected by the process, and now we are publicly questioning that process and talking about going backwards. And I believe our city manager performed the function of a city manager, and this is not council purview to go back to the drawing board at this point.
Councilmember Blair and then Councilmember Lester.
My question is...
Microphone.
Thank you.
My questions are sort of scattered about different aspects of it. One, my recollection is that as a council, we were presented an approach to the design and developing community input, and that we were doing this in collaboration with Sustainable Bainbridge, following very much the successful model of the waterfront, of the waypoint. That was an idea and a model that we liked collectively, and we supported that, and that was Sustainable Bainbridge. So I'm wondering, in a new process, as it's discussed here and presented as an idea tonight, I wonder first about the fact that we did have a process described and we collectively agreed with it. And I understand the idea of getting new information, new ideas brought forward, and so forth. But there's something about having said, this is what we want to do, and we went to the community and we have had two community meetings and a community survey to bring a lot of ideas forward. I'm guessing that the idea is that if we were to go with the new process, that the firms would, doing the conceptual plans, would be given this information and then asked to incorporate that. Mm-hmm. Is that mm-hmm. correct? Okay, thank you. So there is that. I also am wondering about how it works with this new or a different approach with the conceptualizing and the conceptual plans by the three, maybe the three top or all eight of them, however we choose to do it, if that were even to be an option. How does the community that's going to then identify the best or the most favored conceptual plan, how does the community have a way of assessing the very qualities that make for a responsible firm? And that has to do with capacity, professionalism, experience, if what they're looking at is reasonably a show and tell and potentially who's got the best pictures and that sort of thing, which may or may not always equate to the professional issues that we need in terms of this. We developed, I think, the criteria in our conversation about wanting people with grant awareness and an ability to help us seek grants that would leverage the $1.8 million. And that was something that was done when those funds were allocated and that conversation went on. So that's a scattering of my kinds of questions. I personally think this is an idea that is very worthy of exploring next time around, and I do believe there will be. I am troubled by the idea that we went through, we agreed, it wasn't like it was a surprise. We knew what the process would be, and we discussed the selection committee because there was a decision to include a representative from Sustainable Bainbridge because they had been our collaborating partner in the community input. So I'm concerned about coming back to that and changing it at this point. It doesn't mean this isn't a great process that has lots of potential. I would like us to be able to take advantage of the possibility of funds, particularly as we've listened to the Harbor Commission and so many people that have worked very, very hard on thinking about how we can restore the dock. And those funds are not available in a year. It will be, that is the kind of thing that we really end up limiting what's possible with that if we wait and want to go ahead and have the possibility of applying for grants. I think Dave's points are well made that maybe we think about parameters around the current funding that we have and the idea of asking that the design include some possibilities that could be add-ons, but that's further down the line after we figure out the scope of project and that sort of thing. I am feeling as though the thoughtful process that we went through, and I'm quite impressed with the recommendation and based on what was done in a competitive process, whether it was by paper, whether it was on a telephone or an in-person process.
Councilmember Blossom.
Well, first, I don't think we had any say in the selection committee. I mean, we agreed to allow Sustainable Bainbridge to run the forums.
But we heard who the four were. I mean, we did hear what the committee was going to do.
I didn't.
We didn't?
We did not.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's an oversight. I thought we had discussed the way that would be comprised. So extract
Council,
that.
Councilmember Blossom's the
floor. Thank you.
But, you know, that aside, I'm comfortable with the process Doug went through. It was helpful to see what you looked at. And I'm not saying the design's not important, but it's not the only thing. You can have someone with a great design that, you know, can't bring it to fruition. And so to just put out their designs for the public to pick the top design, I think that's dangerous. And I think the public's had participation to this point. I don't know why they couldn't, we couldn't have community involvement going forward. So I'm fine with Doug's selection.
Councilmember Lester.
I forgot to mention City Hall. City Hall also had incorporated members from the arts community, and that's why if you look around this room and the entire City Hall, you will find integrated artworks. I think it's just something to consider that when you have a diverse membership actually asking the questions, they do things that go beyond, say, the technical check the box. They ask the what if questions. And, you know, I stuck my neck out and to show options and what we've done in the past. It was my hope that we would do a more thorough interview process. I was surprised that an interview was just done by on the phone. So I'm giving it my best shot, and that's that. And thank you so much for taking the time to hear and listen to what we've done successfully recently. And we'll make this a success, whatever we choose.
And I'd like to make a comment before I go to another round. I certainly voted for the process we had. What I was surprised about is that what we wound up with was not anything that said this is a concept that we are going to develop. And rather than, because under the description that went out, there was not an indication that you wouldn't get that. And so what we have is a lot of qualifications, but you don't have any sense of, you know, what their kind of design view is. And that's what was missing to me, and that's why I brought it up, because the process that was used is certainly an acceptable process. I just didn't understand, and that's my failing, with respect to is this appropriate? I think it absolutely is. It appropriate discussion for the council? I think we have a responsibility to the community to get the best waterfront park that we can. And if members believe that isn't going to occur, or there are other approaches, I think it's certainly within the purview of council to say we can go and redo something that we discovered that we'd like to do it differently. That was my position, and it clearly isn't everyone's position. So, you know, I will certainly, like everything else, go along with the majority of the council. So, Councilmember Hytopoulos, Blossom, and then Blair.
So, you know, I just think it's worth pointing out a couple of things. One, I think Ann started to hit this, that this is a very technical project. It's a complicated project. It requires particular expertise. It's being built almost entirely in the shoreline jurisdiction, I believe. And so this was a request for qualifications, right? And so what the folks who did this interview the reason we need a public works director and not the community to make the decision at this stage is because we need to hire someone who, and several people have hit on it, but who can follow through, complete, et cetera, and has demonstrated the ability to generate good design. So I just don't want the public record to be left that somehow that the selection process didn't include looking for somebody who was capable of producing, no doubt, multiple design options. We're the client, the community is the client. We're not there yet. These people have the experience, and they just won a design award in 2013. They are perfectly capable, I'm sure, just like when we reviewed 10 options from our local architect on the art museum. They're capable, I'm sure, of assimilating community input, creating options, and that's when we'll get to that stage. But the idea that in any way that the community would be actually hiring or playing any sort of a role in the hiring, the selecting on the qualification side of someone who's going to build a large project in our, you know, in our downtown, I wouldn't want to see that become our process. The other thing I want to point out is that just process-wise here, I'm still troubled by the fact that if Doug was going to bring forward this as a proposal, how it is that that got sidetracked by a couple of council members. I have a problem with that. I'm sorry. If the plan was this was coming forward for this council to have a conversation here in this room, and this is where the conversation happens, hey, I want to do something else. It shouldn't be derailed by conversations off the record with the city manager.
Councilmember Blossom, and then Councilmember Lester.
Kirsten hit on.
Sorry. You will.
What I was going to comment on, which was, it doesn't trouble me that it didn't come with a design, because I guess maybe it's good there's not some preconceived notion of what they're going to do with our park. That, mm-hmm. You know, that's what the community then gets involved in. So I'm not bothered that they didn't present a design for the park as part of the process.
Out of order, Councilmember Blair.
Thank you.
And Lester.
I have a couple things. I think I would like us to discuss the question you raised separate from this, if we could do that so that we don't get them too bollocks up. I think it seems to me, and I want to just check in with the city manager, because the scope of the project and the funding was something that was also to be a part of our conversation as well as how we would manage it. But it seems to me that the scope of the project that we then give to the design team ought to include, one of the things is the incorporation. If we collectively work on the art, we want more than one option. Clearly, at least the one firm that we learned more about, you described what they called a storefront studio. I don't know exactly what that is, I can conjecture, but that there was definitely that community participation and input was key to what they were doing. And I think that helps to, at least as it's presented, and from your conversation and the committee's conversation, that ought to help mitigate and bring in and give us another chance to incorporate the kinds of things that you're looking for. And I would also say that scope can say we want a group of options to bring to the community for further input and refinement. Is that correct, or am I extrapolating and wishing for something that isn't possible?
No, that's exactly correct. And Studio Cascade, who's the lead on this, their specialty, what they specialize in, is the public outreach and the public process. That's what they do. They pull a team together. They specialize in the process part of it, the citizen interaction. They have sub-consultants that are, you know, with this project, it's a complicated project. There are shoreline issues. There's overwater structures. There's upland design issues. Multi-disciplines. So you've got different disciplines. You've got some very specialized expertise that's required. And they bring to their team architects, landscape architects, civil engineers, overwater and marine specialists. So everyone is there, and the concept that they've presented, and they were really the one firm that our team that we interviewed that had a very specific idea of how they would do their community outreach. The storefront studio is something that they came up with, that they would set up shop in a storefront, preferably on Winslow Way. A lot of foot traffic, a lot of visibility, and for a four-day period, they would offer an opportunity for people to come in, sit down with the designers, and draw out ideas, draw out different concepts, incorporating what has already been provided as input from the community through the two workshops we've had and the surveys. So there would be an opportunity for multiple designs. And then there would be a presentation of those designs to the community, where there'd be an opportunity to say, well, we like, maybe there's one that everyone likes, or maybe there's elements of the different concepts that people like that can then be combined into one.
Councilmember Lester.
So there was an intimation that council discussion or having a conversation with you is somehow inappropriate. When I discussed with him, where are things at, and then I immediately talked with him, and we met a couple times, and you very generously said, hey, let's bring this to council, and we'll discuss it. That's how I believe it's you are comfortable working, that we can have a conversation that isn't always here. If there's something I have issue, typically I will, and if I have a criticism, I'm not going to make it typically on the dais. I will talk with him and ask city manager, how best can we work together to discuss what is at hand? And that's what came about this evening.
All right.
As well,
excuse me.
Council, I know that he called Councilmember Blossom to check in to see where she was at. That is the city manager's job, is to know where we're at.
It was recommended by Councilmember Blair that we talk about that process at some later time, not included in the discussion associated with the park. So, Councilmember Ward.
Yeah, I would suggest, one of the items that Doug brought up, which I think is very important to our discussion, is what we want to do about the grants. And I stated previously I have no problems pursuing grants, but I don't want to end up with a $1.8 million and a $3.4 million design that we're stuck with. So I think if we could spend 5 minutes and have a focused discussion on the grant, maybe reach a consensus in terms of what the wishes of the council are, that might help provide the city manager some direction here. And I personally favor what he described as the moderate approach. So.
The moderate?
Well, Doug, could you put the slide up that you had three different?
Three.
Yeah.
So the minimal scope would be the $1.8 million. We know what we've got that in hand, and then the moderate would be matching that with potentially. There's no guarantee. These are competitive grants. So the type of direction that we would give to the consultant that's designing this is to make sure that we're not just doing a design and then when a year or 6 months from now we find out that we weren't competitive and we didn't get the grant, that we can't build anything. We want to make sure that we can at least use the funds available and have improvements to the park, not just a plan. If we're successful in getting grants, then there would be elements that we could add to the base design with whatever additional grant funds we would be fortunate enough to receive.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, so did I hear you describe kind of a $1.8 million design with add-on options if we got the grants? Is that what you're
suggesting? I think the general idea, yeah, that's the general idea.
And that would be something I would suggest would be an appropriate direction here.
Is there a council agreement on that?
Let's make motions just so. Would you make a motion about that?
I make a motion that we instruct the city manager to have the selected firm operate under the what he describes here as the moderate scope, with the something we can bill for $1.8 million that has options if and when we receive grants.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, motion carries unanimously. Councilmember Blair?
I would move that we go forward following the city manager's recommendation and process that had been followed up to this point, and that being following the standard currently in our code and in the state guidelines for selecting through a request for qualifications.
Discussion? Councilmember Blossom.
Can you repeat the motion, Ann?
No. Oh, if I'd only been very succinct, yes. Let's clean it up together. I am moving that we...
May I suggest you put up the the discussion of the alternate process so we can clarify previous slide. I'm trying to get to where...
So that in fact, it does have good, clean words
yep.
for a motion. Thank you.
I don't know that it did. I don't think I have a slide that has a motion for the process.
I think that second slide that you had, anyway. My motion, and I do move, that we advise the city manager to, do you want us to mention the name of the firm in this point, or do you want to bring that forward?
At
a later date.
It's on the agenda to schedule for
approval
next week.
Right, right. But I'm saying I think that what I want to do is bring forward an agenda bill next week with a specific recommendation. But the direction I would like to go for that agenda bill is that we follow the standard procedure and the process you've gone through currently for the request for qualifications and bring forward your recommendation following that process.
Is that clear enough? I mean, whether you like it or not,
is it clear?
Does it make sense as a motion? Okay, then people
can
consider it.
That makes sense as a motion.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that when you bring it forward, you would have a specific task that would be contracted for in a specific amount?
Yes.
Okay.
Discussion?
Is there a second?
There was a second. She already seconded it.
Thank you.
Discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay, respectfully.
We do a roll call. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay.
Nay. Nay.
Motion carries 4-2.
Thank you.
Okay, do you want to talk about the process? Let's skip that and do it at another day.
Let's add that to an agenda. Okay. The council member Blair had suggested that we have a item to discuss having to do with agenda setting. I think is really the involvement of council in agenda setting. Moving on to unfinished business, item C, Core 40 North Madison Non-Motorized Improvement Construction Award.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. For the record, John Cunningham, Interim Public Works Director. This item that we're bringing forward tonight is a request for award of a contract to construct the North Madison non-motorized facility. This is one of the Core 40 projects on the city's non-motorized list of priority projects. Consists of approximately 1/2 mile, 2,600 linear feet of asphalt widened shoulders on North Madison Avenue from Valley Road to Winther Road. It's a continuation of a project that was completed last year and is intended to be enhance the access for bicyclists and pedestrians. Bids for this project were opened on September 9th. We received 3 bids. The apparent low bidder is Lakeside Industries, and their base bid is in the amount of $113,650. The other two estimates, or excuse me, other two bids were $131,700 and $134,300. The engineer's estimate for the project was $161,040. And the request again tonight is that you authorize award of the contract to Lakeside Industries for completion of the project at the bid price of $113,650.
Councilmember Ward.
I move the City Council approve the contract with Lakeside Industries, Inc. for the North Madison Avenue non-motorized improvements project in the amount of $113,650 and authorize the city manager to execute the contract.
Second.
Discussion? Councilmember Lester.
Clarifying question. Is this from grant funds?
Well.
And if so, can we extend and add some more bike lanes? Extend it further, get another $67,000 worth of bike lane out of this?
It does.
I mean, we had a budget of $200,000.
Right. It does have STP grant funds in it.
Because otherwise, I think we return the funding.
Right. So that I think that's a good question that we can check on. We'll have to look at what the grant really allows us to do, and how much we can increase the contract and those kinds of things to see whether or not we can actually do that. But I think that's a great idea with the additional funds. If that's direction from the council, we'll certainly look at that and do a change order to the contract to add that. I think it's a great idea.
Thank you.
Councilmember Blair.
I absolutely support it. I want to say good catch. And please, unless there's someone sitting up here that would prefer it not happen that way, I would really encourage us to do that. So I'll let you find out.
Councilmember Hytopoulos.
Oh, I'm just holding my hand. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Great, thank you.
Along those same lines, John, it might be appropriate anytime there are grant funds, because there have been a number of these that have come up where through your good work and the planning, the engineering department, we're getting jobs done much less expensive than what we had bid or engineering estimate and what the grants are for. So identifying those up front and looking at how we might extend those, because giving grant money back is painful. Painful.
Especially when you have the match money already and you don't have to go find it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that's just sitting here kind of thinking about it, doing an additive alternate as part of the bid project. The bid package is probably the best way to address that. So, yeah, we can discuss that, and we can add additive alternates very easy to the package. You know, it's not difficult to do that.
I think we had the same issue on Fort Ward Hill on that reconstruction job. There was even a larger amount.
Yeah, so. That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The next item, you don't need to leave. It's the annual stormwater detention pond maintenance contract.
This is another item that you have an updated agenda bill on your dais tonight. This is for the award of a contract for the pond maintenance for two ponds that the city maintains, two large regional stormwater ponds, one serving the Rockaway Bluff Road area and the other serving the Platte of Commodore. The work is to remove silt and vegetation, do some additional work on restoration of access roads, and then disposal of the materials that that are taken out of the ponds. In this particular case, the bid opening was September 10th. We received two bids. The apparent low bidder is Nordland Construction Northwest with a base bid of $32,970. The other bid that was received was $49,178. The engineer's estimate was $41,075. Might add that Nordland Construction has been doing quite a bit of pond construction work for Kitsap County this summer, as they've been doing a lot of pond work, and Nordland has been the contractor that's been doing a lot of that for them. This is the again, the request to for the council to authorize award of the contract to Nordland Construction for the stormwater pond maintenance project in the amount of $32,975.
Thank you, Councilmember Bart.
I would move that the City Council approve the contract with Nordland Construction Northwest for the 2013 annual stormwater pond maintenance project in the amount of $32,975 and authorize the city manager to execute that contract.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
And now the sewer general plan system plan review service study area. That's a mouthful.
Kind of a long title for this one. As the council knows, one of the projects that the Public Works Department is working on this year is an update to the city's general sewer plan. That update is a requirement of the city's discharge permit that the city has for the wastewater treatment facility. The last update of the plan was completed in 1994. The discharge permit requires that the general sewer plan be updated by June of 2014. So back in December of 2012, the council authorized a professional services agreement with Carollo Engineers to work with staff on the update of the plan. Following that, the city manager put together a general sewer plan advisory committee that consists of members of the Planning Commission, the Utility Advisory Commission, and the Technical Environmental Advisory Committee. And those folks have been working for the last couple of months. We've had four meetings with that group to define and get input from them as to what the study areas are going to be for the service area. And that was kind of the first task that needed to be done, so that the technical analysis work on the capacity of the pipes and lift stations and that kind of thing could go on. So we went to the committee to get their input on what those study areas ought to be. This doesn't necessarily mean that these will be the final sewer service areas that end up in the plan. It's basically we'll look at these areas as we understand more, as the technical work is completed, we understand more about the capacity of the pipes, capacity of the lift stations, capacity of the treatment plant, etc., to see whether or not there is capability of expanding the existing sewer service area. So that's kind of what the purpose of defining these study areas is. At the August 20th meeting, the advisory committee finalized their recommendation for what these study areas should look like. And that's what I'm going to show you tonight, just to as kind of an informational piece so you know where we're at in the process. I will say that we didn't have 100% agreement amongst all of the committee members that these were the right areas to study, but we did have the vast majority of the committee in agreement that these were the areas that we ought to look at. So with that, well, the map that you see before you is the South Island Sewer Service Area. And basically, what the advisory committee did was, and I don't know if you can see this on your screens, but the current study or current sewer service area is basically this area right in here. If you can see that, sort of right at the head of the inlet there, stopping there. South Island area is served by Sewer District 7, and so the city purchases capacity of their treatment from their treatment plant for providing sewer service to this area. The committee looked at this and added two areas that they requested that we study as a part of the plan update. The highest priority area for them is this area right here, right along the shoreline, right here. The second area that they wanted us to look at is the area along Crystal Springs over here. So as part of the study, what we'll be doing is having conversations with District 7 about their capability of providing additional capacity for the city to use. So we'll be bringing that back as part of the discussion. And then the council at some point will have the option of, if there is capacity, of deciding whether or not the council wants to reserve some of that capacity, et cetera. So that's kind of where we are on that particular area.
Excuse me, John.
Yes.
It would be helpful if you could, is there a way to identify, like on the one area that, at the lower area, where that line is right now, that
this
area?
This right in here?
Yeah.
Basically, the current service area stops at this little brown line that you see here, which is around the intersection of Oddfellows Road and Pleasant Beach Drive. So
okay.
About at that intersection,
so
not
that
quite.
So that extends then past the park?
Yeah, and then this area here is along Pleasant Beach Drive down to the park.
Okay.
The park property. So it's basically those single-family residences that live or that are along there.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Additional questions on this one before we go to the next one? So the next area is the Winslow area, the greater Winslow area. And in this case, what the advisory committee did was expanded the boundary a little bit to include all of the property that is zoned R2.9 in the sewer service study area. So if you look at the sort of the southwest area of the Winslow area, this little piece right in here is added. You see this solid line here. That's the existing sewer service boundary. And so this R2.9 zoning was added into the study area. If you go over to the Wing Point area, again, the difference between the solid line and the dashed line is the little bit of area that was added in for study purposes. And then if you go up to this area here, then this 2.9 zoned property right in here was added into the study area. So those were the changes or the additions to the study area that were made by the committee. Questions on that one? Okay, and then we get to the kind of the Mid-Island area, which is really the neighborhood service center areas, the Island Service Center and the Rolling Bay Service Center. And here what the committee's recommendation was that the first sort of priority of this of adding areas to be studied was the actual area in those neighborhood centers that is zoned neighborhood service center zoning. So that's kind of the little teeny pieces that you see here in Rolling Bay. And then there's just a very small one, a little bit hard to see here, but it's a little small one right in this area of the Island Service Center. So if you're looking at it on the maps that you have before you, it's the little sort of purple shaded areas. So just those areas are kind of the first priority for studying. And then for the Rolling Bay, that's the only area that was discussed. In terms of the Island Service Center, then there's a blue dashed line that you'll see. and that's kind of this line in here. And what that is the Neighborhood Service Center study area for that particular Neighborhood Service Center. And so that was the that was kind of the outer limits of the study area for that Neighborhood Service Center. And essentially what will happen with these is there will be a technical work done on what it would take to serve those areas, what the requirement would be to serve them in terms of capacity and that kind of thing. And then the consultant will, and staff and the committee will look at optional ways for providing that service. So it doesn't necessarily mean that the pipes, as an example, would be extended from the Winslow service area out to serve those areas. It could be that those areas could be served by standalone, smaller sewer plants of some sort, of one sort or another. And there's a number of those on the market. So that's a piece of the work that we'll be looking at and kind of comparing what it might cost to serve those areas with standalone systems versus what it might cost to serve those areas by bringing a pipe out from the Winslow area, assuming there's capacity in the Winslow collection system and transmission system and treatment plant to take that sewage into Winslow. So that's the what we call the Mid-Island service study areas. And that's at least that piece of it.
Councilmember Hytopoulos.
Maybe I zoned out and missed it, but what is the criteria upon which these areas were selected, or the goals, or that are being? I'm assuming there's some goals or purpose or something that is being forwarded by these. So mm-hmm. How were these little pieces selected? I mean, it's obvious.
Service
like
centers,
right? The neighborhood service center is obvious; it has its own discrete reasons. And there were these little chunks around Winslow, and so why not? You know, why those and not in between the neighborhood service centers and Winslow? And so what
okay.
were their bases?
Okay. I think that there were a number of items that we talked about as a committee, including environmental issues as to why you might want to serve sewer in it for environmental reasons, failing septic systems, treatment plant capacity was obviously an issue. The ability to actually finance the construction was a part of the discussion. And I think where we really ended up is in talking with the Kitsap Health District, they didn't really have any areas around the island that they were overly concerned about in terms of failing septic systems, where they had more failing septic systems than in other areas. They didn't have any areas around the island that where failing septic systems were causing environmental problems at this point in time. And so kind of based on that, the committee landed on, for the most part, the zoning as kind of the key reason for expanding the boundaries, so that to help a couple reasons. To help, as an example, in the Winslow area, to help the Winslow area develop at the densities that are allowed there so that the growth projections for the Winslow area can be met, so that we don't end up expanding the Winslow area, the developed area, the higher density area out past the Winslow area, as an example. In looking at the south area, that was one where probably the environmental concerns were what drove that decision, because when we did talk with the health district and asked them, okay, there's no areas right now where you'd say we really do need to get sewer to them, but are there areas you're a little concerned about that we ought to watch and be concerned about? And in the south area, both of those areas were ones that the health district said, yeah, you know, if we're choosing areas that we want you to keep an eye on, those are a couple areas where we want you to keep an eye on. And in the neighborhood service center, it really again was providing sewer treatment capability that's greater than on-site systems to be able to allow those neighborhood service centers to develop at the densities that they're currently zoned to, so that they too can achieve their growth targets that are in the comp plan. So,
So I guess what concerns me is, I mean, my perspective on this has evolved greatly over the last, you know, whatever, 10 years or something, but from, you know, being a strong advocate for and continuing to believe that septic systems are great, and if they're working, they're wonderful, they're mm-hmm. recharging the aquifer and everything, but concerned about the financing, the ability to sustain our sewer utility, and it is the elephant that's been in the room for the last several years as we've tackled the water utility. Here's this ugly stepchild that nobody wants, and how are we going to handle it with these huge costs? And so, you know, I'm kind of surprised whether whatever the policy, the, you know, position the council winds up taking on the expansion of the plant and the expansion of the system. My understanding is, even though we just, you know, we're still paying for the last work on the plant, that it's imminent, or, you know, relatively speaking, imminent, that we're going to have to upgrade it again for environmental reasons. It's not sustainable to be funding this on the backbone of, like, what is it, 1,800 people? So I'm wondering, is part of the conversation, whether we go that way or not, the financial implications of trying to run a sewer system on so few ratepayers?
Yeah, absolutely.
And along those lines, I assume that when we do this, that when you start looking at it, it would be almost a package, in the sense of, if you're going to add sewer to Crystal Springs, it would be this amount of money. It's this amount of money for the different service centers. But I also noticed, even in the Winslow area, there was a heavy emphasis on shoreline as well. Going back to that one, if you could flip back to that one, I mean, look at the areas that's being added. There's an awful lot of shoreline, again, being added for, you know, from an environmental standpoint. But I absolutely agree with Kirsten that if we just get one big number, that's going to be untenable. And so I think we have to be able to make some choices financially. So having it in a, you know, a Chinese menu kind of a thing by area of what the impact might be financially would be extraordinarily helpful when you do the plan.
Yeah, I think the comment is absolutely right on target, because what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to find that balance between adding customers so that it's easier to pay for the existing system, and the more of those customers that we can add without a lot of additional capital improvement, the better off everybody is. But then at some point you kind of flip over and you have to add a lot of capital improvements at a higher cost, and, you know, so then you lose that balance. So that's really what you're trying to achieve, I think, unless you've got some other overriding issues that you're trying to deal with, such, you know, environmental issues or that kind of thing.
Well, and having to, which I think this, I presume the city's being sensitive to, which I appreciate, because that's been my position until having to really recognize as a, you know, member of this city government that the, you know, the difficulties we're dealing with the sewer, that it doesn't have to mean, you know, balancing our desire to keep density down. So making sure that's always at the table, that it doesn't become a driver for upzoning or something, or does it need to be that? I mean, obviously we just won't make choices to run lines by huge tracts if it's untenable, but thus targeting where it's getting to the places that for policy reasons we want to, like the neighborhood service centers, how do we get there in the most, you know, financially efficient way so we accomplish that goal as well as bringing more customers online? And that's just why I was thinking, when seeing this kind of spotty focal points, that it seems like in a sense it all has to be looked at to figure out where the paths are that, you know, are knitted together to accomplish the most goals. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just assumed that it really is all being considered, but that's why. And then you mentioned, you know, maybe looking at doing, you know, a package plant or whatever it is out at Rolling or Island Center. I mean, no, I think we need to be looking at how do we bring that into the larger system, which we're going to be forced to comply more and more strenuously with, mm-hmm. on the backs of, you know, 1,800 people. So it's all those things together, yeah. In a big conversation.
It really is. And again, one of the things that one of the decisions that the council will have to make is, if you're thinking about, or as you're thinking about potentially extending the Winslow sewer out, let's say there's capacity and that's all great and everything, and we're extending that out to the Island Service Center, one of the issues that would create for you is the properties along that sewer line are going to want to develop at a higher density. That just is the way it occurs. So if the council doesn't want that to occur, you're going to have to, you know, stick with the zoning that you have and run it by...
Because to me, that presumes that the density has been driven by perkable, you know, how perkable the land is. And I'm not, I think that our decisions for zoning have not have been based on a plan to slowly have the density come very slowly out of the neighborhood service centers in Winslow. So, you know, I'm just not, I've never seen data that makes me concerned that the issue is parcels aren't developing because they can't perk. We have pretty large parcels, and I don't see this as a driver for development. And I'd love to know from the city if this data is to the contrary.
Yeah. And one other comment I'd like to make is, looking at this, this is not on the backs of the 1,800 ratepayers, in the sense that if there is new service being added, new service pays for new service. And so this isn't, and I assume, for example, that the funding for this is out of the general fund, not out of the sewer fund, to do the plan, because what you're looking at is expansion.
Yeah, the funding was established before I got here, so I guess I'm not 100% sure
you need a check.
Where it's at. So
I think
it should be the sewer fund. I mean, this is to the benefit, and it's needed by the sewer customers. Anyway,
if the emphasis is on the expansion of the sewer system, and the analysis is looking at the new sewer lines. Isn't that beyond what the existing customers are being charged for? Councilmember Blossom.
First of all, the emphasis is not on expanding the sewer system. And no, it is, I mean, this is basically a capital project that you take into consideration when you charge, capital facilities charge for someone to connect a participation fee. At that point, they pay their part.
Okay.
Right. And part of the analysis is of the existing system and whether or not it has the capacity to meet the population projections that the city has to meet and those kinds of things. So it's definitely not all looking at expanding the system. That's a piece of it, but that's not all of it. Yeah.
Any Councilmember Ward?
Just want to make a brief comment. I went to all four of the meetings, and while they weren't terribly exciting, they were highly productive. And I wanted to compliment John on who chaired all four meetings. He got through the agenda. Everybody got to participate, and we got done on time. And that's a pretty hard three things to accomplish simultaneously. So,
well, the committee
thank you for your good work there.
Thank you very much. The committee did work very, very hard, and I was really impressed with the committee's dialogue back and forth and their discussion of different issues and differences of opinion that they had. They discussed things very respectfully and listened to each other and ultimately, you know, made decisions based on those discussions and hearing each other out and that. So just before I close, just a quick note as to what the next steps are. The technical work is going on now in terms of flows and capacities and pipe sizes and all of that. But beginning in sometime in October and then running through probably the end of this year, the advisory committee will be getting back together and they'll be talking about a number of the things that you've talked about here tonight. Extension policies, what might those be? If a line is extended, who pays for that, as an example? Financing policies, environmental stewardship policies as it might relate to extensions, etc. Design criteria for the system, reliability for the system, etc. So there's a number of other policy kind of related questions that the advisory committee will be looking at between now and the end of the year, and that'll all be folded into the sewer plan when it comes to you for your review and comment and analysis and ultimately approval to send on to Department of Ecology.
Okay. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
We're now on item 7, consent agenda. Councilmember Lester.
I move that the City Council approve consent agenda items A through E, A, accounts payable, voucher, and payroll approval. B, regular business meeting minutes, August 14, 2013. C, regular study session meeting minutes, August 21, 2013. D, special regular business meeting minutes, August 28, 2013. And E, special regular study session meeting minutes, September 4, 2013.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Councilmember Board.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve consent agenda item F, Rotary Park Sewer Easement, AB 13-117.
Second.
Discussion. All those signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. There were
one recusal.
Five votes and one recusal.
Thank you.
City Manager report.
Okay, in the City Manager's report that went out last Friday, just a note on the pavement markings that were installed island-wide during the past month. We also had information on reports of increased aircraft being routed over Bainbridge Island, in addition to reports to the city and my contact with SeaTac Port of Seattle staff. Congressman Kilmer's office and State Senator Ralph's office had also received complaints and had also made contact. So the Port of Seattle and SeaTac Airport has definitely heard from Bainbridge Island. A report is supposed to be coming forward from Congressman Kilmer's office, which will be copied to the city of Bainbridge Island regarding the traffic flow patterns and the reason for the increased traffic. The preliminary report I received is that it's part of the summer weather, the North Flow operation, which routes traffic over, flights take off to the north and then end up routing over the island. Typically, that my understanding is that's been over open water in the past, and those flight patterns have migrated more over the island rather than staying over the open water. But we'll get more information soon. And then the Senate included information on the Senate Transportation Committee forums. The information was forwarded to me by David Mosley, director of Washington State Ferries. He's given me the dates for various meetings, September 17th in Bellevue, September 18th in Everett, September 23rd in Wenatchee, September 24th in Yakima, October 2nd in Spokane, October 7th in Vancouver, and October 9th in Tacoma. What's been requested is to have local officials from by Director Mosley, to have local officials from the ferry communities attend those meetings to make sure that the voice regarding the transportation dollars for ferry services is heard. So if you can attend any of those meetings, let me know, because I can pass that information on to Director Mosley so he's aware that we'll have local officials at the meetings.
Councilmember Blair.
Thank you. I'm wondering if you think strategically, or if you know from having talked to Mr. Mosley, that it's important to have someone or representatives from the ferry communities at the meetings that are being conducted in Eastern Washington. I mean, the tendency, as I look at this, is to say, I'll go to Tacoma, you know, that kind of thing, or I'll go to Bellevue. But I'm wondering if strategically it's really helpful and very important for us to try to figure out how we could send or have someone in Wenatchee or in Yakima, that sort of Spokane. Do you know?
He has suggested that it would be really great if we could
so we should
have someone
that
attend the Eastern Washington meetings. understanding that you will definitely be a minority in Eastern Washington talking about ferries, but it's a perspective that the people living in Eastern Washington need to hear.
Okay. Thank you.
Rockaway Beach Stabilization Project update was also included, mostly regarding night work that's been occurring this week. They'll go back to daytime work next week, I believe, with the tides. They're making good progress, and the monitoring for surf smelt has started, and so far we're safe. We can keep working, so that's a good thing. Compliments to the employees that respond over Labor Day weekend, helping with the sewer beach main rupture. I believe that is...
Do you have a new staff person?
Yeah, as of today... we have a new code enforcement officer that will come out in this week.
Oh, I didn't mean to get a jump on it.
But,
sorry
well,
to do that to you.
It's current news, though.
I just heard it today. So.
Okay. Greg Voss has started as our new code compliance officer as of today. After meeting departmental staff, he was taken on a tour of the island. So we're happy to have him, and more information to follow in this week's city manager's report. The last item I have is received an email late this afternoon from the Association of Washington Cities. Because the city of Bainbridge Island received the AWC Excellence Award for the Wavepoint project, we have been asked to showcase that project at the National League of Cities Conference in Seattle in November. So what they want is two people who are familiar with the project to be able to basically man a booth on November, pardon?
Support a booth.
Person a booth? Yes, support a booth.
Staff?
On either on November 14th and November 15th. Along with that is... for two people, they will National League of Cities will provide registration at no cost for the conference. That's all I have.
With respect to your announcement, with respect to code enforcement on the city manager's report, in terms of Voss, can you? We've sent some emails back and forth in terms of code enforcement. Is there a possibility that some of that could be added to how we are viewing code enforcement?
Yeah, certainly having...
I think everybody has received some emails with respect to code enforcement recently. And one of the things that... I had asked to be able to do is to have some statement that we can put out there rather than doing it individually. And if we're going to be discussing a new code enforcement officer, describing a little bit about our code enforcement program and processes and whatever might be helpful.
Right. And we do have on the agenda for next week an update or an overview of the code enforcement policies.
Mm-hmm.
The process, and Planning Director Kathy Cook will be leading that presentation. The new code compliance officer will be here, so you can meet him.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Councilmember Hightopoulos.
So I have something to say that would bridge from that to the meeting settings, upcoming agendas. So I don't know whether to bring it up now if it's about this item he's talking about or not. It seems pertinent at the moment. So,
why don't we do the committee reports first, and then you can kick that in first thing. Okay. Committee reports. Anybody?
Councilmember Blair.
Thank you. The committee that I would like to just update people about is the Road Ends, and I've mentioned to you how productive this committee is, and my having some money to spend on specific projects definitely helps the productivity. But more importantly, what has happened this year is a very thoughtful planning process, and you all approved a work plan. And I just have to say, it's made an enormous difference in terms of the being able to work their way through it and feel as though, as volunteers who've worked, and the majority of that committee have worked for 30 years on Road Ends, and I think they're feeling as though they're back into a process of being able to make progress. But it, a lot of it comes out of the effort that went into the work plan. So in that one particular committee, we've certainly seen it with the non-motorized over years, that having a work plan that comes before the council and can then be integrated into the staff work plan has really made a big difference. So I commend that, as well as just to let you know it's going on.
Okay. There's, I have on Tuesday attended the KRCC Executive Board. Some information for our finance director. KRCC's fee for next year is the same as this year, plus 2%. We had talked in the past about changing the fee structure. And
we haven't voted on it.
Pardon?
We haven't voted on that as a body yet.
What?
The board.
That comes next Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But that's
potentially
that is what's going to be suggested to the board.
Right.
The rationale for that is that the county and KRCC is considering changing the structure from a consultant to a non-consultant process, and that would be a major activity during 2014. And to go and change the fee structure now without understanding what the eventual fees are, it seemed like more complicated than it needed to be. But there is still the will, at least at the executive committee, that a new fee structure along the lines of what we have discussed up here before, that is more heavily based on how successful the various communities are in getting grants as a major component for the fee. Secondly, on Thursday at the Transpo meeting, the discussion associated with the transportation meetings is going to be discussed, and then have a KRCC will have a package of the issues with respect to transportation for our county to give to electeds and others that would be in attendance. And so I think that coupled with the package with respect that we're getting from the ferries is what we would then take forward to those meetings. Okay. Council agendas. Okay, Kirsten.
Well, so I have a conflict next week, and you know, I'm hearing, and I'm the one that has asked to, you know, pushed. Give me. I want to hear about code compliance. And now, whoa, we have a new code compliance officer. So, I'm just wondering if it would be helpful to have an extra week to bring him on board so he could be more an active participant.
Sure.
As the person who really wants, you know, one of the people who particularly wants to be present for the conversation, I wouldn't mind waiting another week. Otherwise, I'd ask that you put that conversation later in the meeting, because I have every intention of trying to at least hit the last part of the meeting. I'll get here as soon as I can, but I will not be here at the beginning of the meeting. So that's all.
So you could possibly move it to the end of staff intensive. Would that work?
Right, exactly. I would hope to be here by that time.
Is this a back-to-school night kind of a thing?
It is, actually. I have twins going who just both started middle school this year, and I cannot actually miss this particular thing to meet the teachers.
Right.
I have to.
Why don't we go and look at...
I wonder if we could...
Yeah, is there something that we can possibly switch from the 25th to the 18th?
But what about the noxious weed? Well, that might not work
good. Let's see. The
either the head of the bay boundary line adjustments or one of those.
What kind of timing do we
or
have?
Or the noxious weed.
I think the main reason why it's on the agenda for next week is because it's a typical study session item. But as you can see, the meeting on the 25th is only about an hour long mm-hmm. right now. So there's definitely room to add it. And I'm sure that the extra week to prepare for that would be appreciated.
Yeah, why don't we just go ahead and move it a week?
So we'll make it the 25th.
Okay. Let's see. There were a couple of things that Councilmember Blair and I met with the city manager on Tuesday, going over some issues that were pending. One was legalized marijuana policies, a draft ordinance, and when we discussed it, it's not currently in there, and it was, my guess was it's probably 3 one-hour sessions in order to talk about the different aspects if somebody else has a different view of.
All right. I can give you an update on that.
Okay. We're going to get an update.
Okay. Since we talked, in fact, this morning during our agenda prep meeting, the approach that Paulsbo has taken, and our city attorney also provides mm-hmm. city attorney services for Paulsbo, is they've implemented interim regulations, an alternative mm-hmm. to a moratorium that isn't quite as
onerous
as a moratorium might be, but it's an opportunity for the council to immediately implement regulations so that we're positioned to at least address applications that might come in before we're able to have a process in place. And the reason we would want to do that is because if an application comes in to Liquor Control Board and we don't have zoning regulations in place, but then we get the regulations in place, they're not going to apply to that application because the application would be vested.
Uh-huh.
So we want to get interim regulations in place. The council can do that without public hearing initially. You can implement the interim regulations and then hold a public hearing. I think it's within 30 days, and then you would have time to revisit an ordinance that would be in place long term.
Councilmember Blair.
So does that make sense perhaps to at least have our first introduction to that as an interim and an approach and do that next week at the study session with the anticipation that it would then come for action?
Well, we've actually plugged it in for the October first 2nd. Look on October 2nd.
Okay.
So and then potent the first
enough?
Reading on October 9th.
And that's soon enough? Pardon me.
I thought that the permits were going to start being issued the last week in September.
October 4th. The rules, the current rules were published
I'll
September 4th or 5th, somewhere in that time frame, and there's a 30-day comment period. And then they will be implemented after that.
Okay, it's they're submitting applications now for review, but the actual permits won't be out until October.
Yeah, right now what's under review is the rules.
Okay. All right. As long as you're,
you've gone through and all that, and this is adequate timing, correct?
Yes.
So we'll just take that off the list. Thank you.
Looks like Councilmember Hightopoulos says.
Councilmember Hightopoulos.
So if we're going to, I fully support doing, you know, rapid interim measures just to hold things while we make good decisions, mm-hmm. so that we don't have things happen that nobody would want to happen. But are we going to make any statement to the public, you know, as a council, policy-wise, to make sure that we're not giving the indication that we're trying to block the legislation or, you know, that sort of thing, or not the legislation, are we trying, initiative, right, are we going to do anything as a council? So I'm really asking the council, I don't want to send the message to the community that we're trying, we need to communicate that we're not trying to defeat the initiative, we're trying to implement it well for our community. Well, and maybe that's not necessary, but I think it could be perceived as trying to defeat.
I think it is necessary, and I think that as part of the definition of why we're doing an interim is to make sure that we can meet the requirements of the state in a thoughtful way. It's a fair amount of discussion, a fair amount of community process for us to do that. And we don't want it to have something grandfathered in that after all the discussion that we said, you know, that was unfortunate. So I think as part of that discussion on the interim ordinance, that would be a part of why, and all the whereases that always go with the ordinance, because I think that's the real issue. Is we just, right. You know, it is a new requirement, and when we updated our land use code, it wasn't envisioned that was going to be an issue that our land use code was going to have to deal with, and it now needs to.
So yeah, so I think I'm thinking like maybe press release language that kind of gives people mm-hmm. a little heads up on we have unique issues because of the code, and but we're just, you know, just make it clear that we have issues we have to deal with, and just that it's not. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, Councilmember Lester.
On Wednesday, September 18th, item C, I'm hoping that's for information and that if we do wish to consider approval, that we'd actually do that at a business meeting.
The traffic impact fees?
Naming.
September 18th. Item C is naming of John Nelson Park. And discussion goal says consider approval, and I would like to do those sort of approval things at a business meeting. And have it for information and discussion.
We certainly can do that. I think the reason I believe that that I wanted it in a study session in particular was because of the ability to get a lot more involvement in public comment.
Certainly, but in terms of considering approval,
yes,
we could certainly make a motion
right.
to move it to a business meeting.
Okay, absolutely.
Thank you.
Councilmember Hightopoulos.
So because I'm going to be pretty late, I hope that if we're going to add the waterfront park thing that we discussed tonight, I'd like prefer it go to the end. I'd like to be here for that.
Okay.
Rather than up front.
Yeah, and that's is no longer information. I assume that is for decision. Item D.
Does that mean it's going to? Is it going to the 18th, or is it going to the next one?
I think we can do it. We can do it on the 18th. I don't see any reason why
okay.
we can't do
so,
it.
So I'm just requesting it be at the end of the list of things.
Yeah, open water. Open water marina. Okay, waterfront park.
Park.
So we need to add the waterfront park.
And it's the design contract.
Right. Yep. Okay. And that's a considered approval. Okay.
Anything else for next week? There was a question on dog leash rules. Is that something that we can put on the agenda?
Sarah's the local expert, or she knows the status. Let me say that.
All right, Sarah, what's the status of our dog leash?
I don't have a status. I forwarded what our committee did to Kathy Cook, and I don't know. I haven't done anything on it in months.
It should be ready. Let's put that on the 18th. That's actually a rule. That's a rule. Let's put it on the 25th.
But let's bring it forward for
discussion. Yeah, let's bring it forward for discussion.
Most definitely. See an explanation. You're going to love them. You're going to
love
them.
October 2nd.
Yeah. I'll let you dog people talk about that.
October 2nd.
As opposed to the 18th for the first.
Okay.
Do we have time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, got it.
And it can't be. Okay, then your date's fine. Yep. So we'll go to October.
Okay.
We had talked about the IT systems replacement software for you the 18th to do it for the 18th as a presentation and discussion, and then.
Yep.
Moving to the 25th, is that something that's reasonable for that short turnaround?
On the 18th.
We have it scheduled.
Great. Okay.
Okay. We had a question on the change of form for the purchase agreement on the Sumatsu property. Did you figure out what that was? There was a question that we had in terms of this. Sumatsu purchase agreement change of form. What does the change of form mean?
Good evening. I think the document that you saw that on is a planning document where we're tracking work in progress, and there are some discussions with the Sumatsu estate where they may come to the city requesting that we change the form of the purchase agreement that currently stands on the property. So I've been working with the city attorney and the estate for the last couple months. If that comes forward, that was just sort of a reminder that topic exists and may or may not move forward.
Okay, thank you. All right. Anything else that pops out for next week or the following week?
And
Councilmember Blair.
Thank you. We had also discussed the possibility of transferring the John Nelson Park at Strawberry Cannery Cove, if we come up with that name or look at it, to transfer it from the surplus list. Does that require anything other than an information point?
Yeah, that's just an information point.
Because it's an administrative process.
Yeah, we have some properties that we'll talk about next week.
Okay, thank you.
The other thing that we talked about was there is an ILA for jail services and an ordinance for vehicle impoundment. And I was recommending that the ILA for jail services be put on the consent agenda and the ordinance for vehicle impoundment.
Next week and the next act on it.
Is that on next week?
No, that is one that it was a notice that was given to the city clerk a while back that this is something that we need to take care of at some point in the future. So it's a placeholder for at some point in the future.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments or suggestions? Councilmember Blossom.
Tree ordinance.
Where is the tree ordinance?
Good. Thank you.
Council?
I believe...
City Manager will address the tree ordinance.
So on Friday, I'm going to be talking with the planning director on our weekly meeting about the tree ordinance and... And what we'll want to do is have a conversation with the council as well, this current council, because that process is going to take more than the 3 months remaining in this year. So the question for the council is, does it make sense to start that process knowing that we're going to have three new council members at the beginning of the year who will have to be brought back up to speed with the work that's been done to this point? So that's more of an issue for the council, in addition to just the staffing issue and projects on the planning staff workload right now.
Councilmember Blossom.
I think it is important to get started on it, but I'd also, you're talking to Kathy Friday? I guess I'd like to suggest that maybe you guys talk about doing something similar to the sewer plan. We have a committee made up of ETAC and Planning Commission members and maybe council members.
Sarah, I'm going to ask your guidance on this, but we are getting the spigot is being turned on for development recently, and is there, in the same way that we are addressing marijuana within an interim ordinance, does it make sense for us to have an interim tree ordinance before it takes another long period of time? This has been, 4 years is my understanding, on trying to get a tree ordinance out.
Well, I don't know that I can answer that, but you do have an interim tree ordinance, yeah, but it only addresses a certain part of the island.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Hytopoulos.
I don't know that there'd be the will or the money, but I'm really disappointed that this isn't going to happen this year. And what you're talking about, Steve, with development churning back up, to me this is at least as significant as the traffic situation that we've asked to expedite, because once big trees are down, they're gone. It's a long time.
You can always repay, but you can't plant a big tree.
Yeah, well, and especially when development's happening, so it's not going to be conducive to just planting one and it ever get me. It's just so. I guess if the money were there, I would say this should be outsourced and done, just done, because I think it's the community. I think this community prioritizes this huge. So,
Councilmember Lester.
I served on the interim tree ordinance with Councilmember Blossom, and I thought it was my understanding that we were going to be using funds left over from a consultant, and that was finishing it up. And I'm not sure what
those funds were to finish the interim.
Well,
I don't know.
Would you please check with the planning director, because my understanding was that those funds would have a professional finishing off the rest of what needed to be done. No, those funds were from a consultant.
It was funds that were left over from the code update.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a will on the council, even if we had to take additional funds out of contingency or whatever, to get a tree ordinance that we've been trying to get for many, many years. And there's been a lot of work done this year. Okay. Any other comments or issues?
For the good of the order. I have a list.
I apologize. For the good of the order.
Important. Tomorrow, Thursday, September 12th, from 7 to 9 at City Hall, what does economic development mean to you? Join the community conversation on economic development and share your thoughts, ideas, and hopes for the future of our island's local economy. This event is co-hosted by the City of Bainbridge Island, Bainbridge Island Chamber of Commerce, and the Bainbridge Island Downtown Association. Saturday, September 14th, 1 p.m. at Eagle Harbor Book Company, author Brian Dole of the book Mink River, and this book has been mentioned to me by 3 or 4 different people.
So,
So he is actually going to be here and will be giving a book reading. Saturday, September 14th, 7 p.m., Island Music Guild hosts the Island Grown Hip-Hop Music Nimble Bees. And I have to admit this is a shameless promotional of my son. He's in the Nimble Bees. Tuesday, September 17th, Waterfront Park Community Center, there will be a meeting on Bainbridge On Air, possible community radio station. Individuals and organizations interested in contributing to a potential community radio station are invited to attend this public meeting. I didn't put down the time, so if we could put that, does anyone know the? Oops. My mistake. Please go to Sustainable Bainbridge for the exact time. And then finally today, in remembrance of the 12th anniversary of 9/11, I'd like to end with this quote by President Barack Obama. Even the smallest act of service, the simplest act of kindness, is a way to honor those we lost, a way to reclaim the spirit of unity that followed 9/11.
And with that, if there are no other business of the order, this council meeting is adjourned.
Change your name.